You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
I'm joined by David Karyos, who is a wonderful stand-up comedian. I've had the pleasure of seeing you perform.
Oh,
I enjoyed it a lot.
Oh, no.
I am now going to critique it.
Okay.
Positively. No, I'm not actually.
No, give me some critique. Well, do you even remember what I did?
No, not really.
Nah, see? Yeah, but it was a fake compliment.
No, I have a general positive feeling about it. You know, I remember if I liked it or if I didn't like it.
You
know,
yeah.
There are some comedians where you're like, you've seen them and you're like, eh. And you're one where I'm like, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I got the up inflection.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah.
How are you going this morning?
I'm good. I had too much red wine last night, so I'm feeling a little bit crusty today. So.
Yeah, I had like too much bubble tea last night.
Ooh.
And it's a similar effect where I just feel not very good.
I had too many polenta chips the other night and I woke up just feeling real stodgy. And I was just like, yeah. What's happening?
We're getting older and our bodies... they can't handle things.
Mm.
Is my understanding of this phenomenon.
Is it?
Yeah.
What can you do that you can't do anymore? Okay, what can't you do anymore since you were like 14?
Just like drinking alcohol and eating crap food. Now
yeah.
I just feel it.
You feel it?
Like when I was 14, in this case 16, I could drink and now not so much.
Right. What alcohol have you ruined for yourself?
Like rum.
Ooh.
Just rum. What about you? Anything that you ruined in your young age now no longer?
I remember the first time I ever got drunk. I drank Bigfoot. Do you remember Bigfoot?
No, I don't.
it was like bourbon and coke that you got in like a home brand style bottle, and it was thick and sugary, and it just put me in my place, and I was like six, and I was like, oh, it tastes like cola. This is not beer. And
oh no,
yeah, ruined me. So bourbon,
oh, no.
Vodka, gin, now I feel like a dick trying to say I can't drink anything, but I like wine. I don't know.
Yeah, it's all right. We're a bit old now. I don't know how old you are, but I'm gonna say.
How old are you?
Mid-20s.
Nice, I'm in my mid-20s as well.
Yeah, so we're a bit, you know, I mean, all the listeners are going to be sitting at home being like, you guys are children, you don't know what you're talking about. But, you know, I feel I'm a little bit older than I used to be. That's a true fact that no one can argue with. And, you know, now I like a nice glass of wine, but also I get a little bit sleepy after it.
Oh, yeah, it's great, though. Wine sleeps the best, though.
It's amazing. Anyway, we should move on. I have you in here because you have a show in the Comedy Festival, and you've brought in a few comedy clips to share with us and the listeners of some things that you enjoy,
yep.
Are inspired by, perhaps.
Yep. I'm quite excited to show you my clips.
Awesome.
What, make you listen to them? My show this year at the festival is called Full Karyos. It's going to be at Q Theatre in the Vault from like
May 3rd to May 6th. I have on my piece of paper.
You've done your homework, Alice. Thank you very much for covering my butt.
May 3rd's actually my birthday, so a very important date.
Ooh, so you're not going to be coming because you're going to have other things to do that night.
Be doing something much, much better.
Yeah, I thought so.
No, maybe I'll come along. Q Theatre, yeah, it sounds great. I was reading the little description and they said that it's not just jokes. It's like a combination of things.
Oh, yeah. No, judging from my track record so far, I'm expecting people to walk out because it's going to be... I know I'm going to test some people this year. I've got no, like, restraints this year, so I'm just like, let's have some fun.
Great. Okay, well, let's get into our first clip. Do you want to warn people what it is, or should we just play
it? Yeah, it's a very iconic piece of stand-up. It's Chris Rock trying to define different kinds of black people.
Yeah, and if you don't like coarse language, now's the time to turn it down.
Listen up and listen loud, people.
But if you love iconic comedy, turn it up.
It's amazing.
There's a lot of racism going on in the world right now. Who's more racist, black people or white people? Black people. You know why? Because we hate black people, too. Everything white people don't like about black people really don't like about black people. There's some shit going on with black people right now. It's like a civil war going on with black people. And there's two sides. It's black people and there's niggas. And niggas have got to go. Every time black people want to have a good time, ignorant-ass niggas fuck it up. Some ignorant ass niggas fucking it up. Can't do nothing. Can't keep a disco open more than 3 weeks. Grand opening, grand closing. Can't go to a movie the first week it come out. Why? Because niggas are shooting at the screen. What kind of ignorant shit is that? Hey, that's a good movie. That's so good, I gotta bust a cap in here. Hey, I love black people, but I hate niggas, bro. Oh, I hate niggas. Boy, I wish they let me join the Ku Klux Klan. Shit, I do a drive-by from here to Brooklyn. Tired of niggas, man. You can't have shit when you're around niggas. You can't have shit. You can't have no big screen TV. You can have it, but you better move it in at 3 a.m. Painted white, hope niggas think it's a bassinet. Can't have shit in your house. Why? Because niggas will break in your house. Niggas will live next door to you, break in your house, and come over the next day and go, I heard you got robbed. You know what the worst thing about niggas? Niggas always want some credit for some shit they supposed to do. For some shit they just supposed to do. A nigga will brag about some shit a normal man just does. A nigga will say some shit like, I take care of my kids. You're supposed to, you dumb motherfucker. What are you talking about? What are you bragging about? What kind of ignorant shit is that? I ain't never been to jail. What, you want a cookie? You're not supposed to go to jail, you low expectation having motherfucker. Fuck, man, I'm tired of this shit. You know what the worst thing about niggas? The worst thing about niggas? Niggas love to not know. Nothing make a nigga happier than not knowing the answer to your question. Just ask a nigga a question. Any nigga. Hey, nigga, what's the capital of Zaire? I don't know that shit. Keeping it real. Niggas love to keep it real. Real dumb. Niggas hate knowledge. Shit. So I tell you, niggas are breaking your house. You want to save your money? Put it in your books. Because niggas don't read. Just put the money in the books. Shit, books are like kryptonite to a nigga. Here's a book. No! No! Not a book! No! No! Tired of this shit, man. Your kids can't fucking play nowhere. Every year the space gets smaller. Okay, you go from that corner to that corner. Oh, you go from that gate to that gate. By the time motherfuckers 10, he's just hopping in a circle, like. I heard some song the other day. It's the first of the month. Niggas are singing welfare carol. Now they got some shit they're trying to get rid of welfare. So every time you see welfare in the news, they always show black people. Black people don't give a fuck about welfare. Niggas are shaking in their boots. Boy, they gonna take our shit. Shit, a black man that got 2 jobs, going to work every day, hates a nigga on welfare. Like, nigga, get a job. I got 2, you can't get one? First of all, they try to make it look like, you know, there ain't even that many black people in the country, okay? Black people are 10% of the fucking population. Black people in New York, D.C., L.A., Chicago, Atlanta, like 10 places, okay? Okay? 10 places. Ain't no black people in Minnesota. So all you find, only black people in Minnesota is Prince and Kirby Puckett, okay? Shit, the whole rest of the country, the other 40 states, is filled up with broke-ass white people. Broke-ass, living in a trailer home, eating mayonnaise sandwiches, fucking their sister, listening to John Cougar Mellencamp records. And I see some black people looking at me, man, why you gotta say that? Why you gotta say that? It ain't us, it's the media. It ain't us, it's the media. The media has distorted our image to make us look bad. Why must you come down on us like that, brother? It ain't us, it's the media. Please cut the fucking shit, okay? 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 When I go to the money machine tonight, all right? I ain't looking over my back for the media. I'm looking for niggas. Shit. Ted Koppel ain't never took shit from me. Niggas have. So you think I got 3 guns in my house because the media outside? Oh shit, Mike Wallace, run!
Whoa. Just getting right in there.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Oh, I love that clip. That is a... something is about to play next.
It's all right. I've turned it down.
Oh, nice one.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, I do love Chris Rock. I'm just so glad that BFM lets me play a clip with that many N-words in it.
Yeah, I mean, let's do it. It is iconic. I mean, it is full of the N-word, but it is, like, really... like a really classic piece of stand-up, you know?
Oh, yeah. I heard a story that that when he was first trying it out, that joke bombed for like a good year, but he knew there's something in this that'll make people go crazy. And that's what you get. With hard work and persistence, you can make anything funny.
That's the Chris Rock lesson.
Yeah. I love Chris Rock. He's amazing.
Do you have any jokes that you've tried for like a year and or a long time and it never got there, but then eventually you broke through?
I had one, but I've got one where I failed. I tried it heaps of times. I used to eat a light bulb on stage, and I never was able to win over the audience to go, we trust this guy. They never trusted me. They just went, no, don't do that, mate.
Were they always like, he's going to cut his mouth?
Yeah, no, way worse than that. They'd come to me at the end of the show, and they'd just be like, can you not do that anymore? Like, you know, we really like you, and we don't want you to kill yourself on stage. Can you just not eat a light bulb on stage? So I never really learned how to make that palatable for an audience.
Have you ditched it now? Are you still doing even though people hate it?
No, I've ditched it because it's like I'm not really like that committed to eating light bulbs. You know, I don't really feel strong and passionate about eating glass, so I can drop that.
Then, if you were lucky enough to see David Koryos eating a light bulb on stage, that was a moment that people will never see again.
Oh yeah, never again. But I don't know. I've got heaps of stories where it's just like I probably shouldn't have done that.
Okay, let's move on to the second clip. Yes. Tell me about this one.
This is Patrice O'Neill, rest in peace. He passed away in 2012, but he was gone before his time. He does some really ruthless stand-up. But, you know, as a comedian, the main point is if you're making people laugh, then you're doing your job. And I think he really walks that line of going, ooh, if anyone else performed this, it wouldn't work. But he makes it work.
Cool, let's get into it.
Like, white women make me real nervous. White women make me nervous as hell. Not right now, because it's witnesses, but I'm talking about, like, at night when they by themselves, you know what I mean, walking towards me. She could be nervous, too, because I'm a big dude. Like, oh, Jesus, you know, big black guy's walking towards me. Hope he doesn't grab, you know, getting that fantasy going. Hope he doesn't grab me with his big black arms and throw me in a trunk. And I'm thinking the same thing, like, oh, Jesus, I hope nobody kills this white woman because I'm going to get blamed for it. That's why, look, I do a lot of stuff to protect myself, man. I keep my receipts. I collect receipts because that's a trail of where you've been, man. Everywhere I go, I get a receipt. I don't care. And I never go more than a half hour without buying something because you can kill somebody in a half hour and then you ain't gonna have, you need an alibi. So every 15 minutes I buy something, stick of gum. Can I get my receipt for that, please? We don't have receipts for gum, my friend. Well, you're gonna have to, we don't have receipts. Well, look, you're gonna have to write me one or something. I gotta have the receipts. We don't have receipts. And then, you know, if it's like that, I'll end up arguing with him just to, you know, so he remembers me, you know what I mean? Give me my goddamn receipt, pussy. Whoa, what? You hear me, punk? That's you. Kiss my ass. Yeah, kiss my ass, too. What time is it? 5:15. All right. You were in here messing with me at 5:15. You wasn't out killing someone because you're in here f***ing with me. That's why I don't litter. I don't throw garbage in the street. Not because I care about the earth, but I'm afraid I'm going to be walking through the park drinking a soda. And when I'm done, I just throw it on my shoulder, fly over a bush, and land on some dead white woman's head with my fingerprints on the can. Now I'm the Pepsi Cola rapist because I'm lazy.
Cool.
Heavy.
Again.
You weren't listening to that at all, and then at the very end you just heard Pepsi Cola rapist and you're like, oh God,
I just
damn.
Came back into it but I got the bit about throwing the trash. It's great. You're our first comedian to do this, I feel like. We're setting the bar high. But also, it's cool, right? Like, we're getting an idea of your sensibility. So people will, if they're, like, vibing with it, they'll know, yeah, I want to go to this guy's show.
Yeah, okay, here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. Every stand-up club I'm playing for you today doesn't reflect my stand-up at all. That's a big problem I actually have, is that a lot of my mates who are also comics, they'll be like, mate, yeah... You're like observational stand up, but you're not that at all. I'm like Gallagher or like Carrot Top. My stuff's like, I don't know. It's good. Come to my show, but it's not like you're not gonna blow your mind or anything like that. I use a lot of props and get messy.
I mean, like, that's cool. I don't want this. What was I gonna? I was gonna say, like, you know, maybe in 10, 20 years you'll be blowing people's minds, but I don't want that to sound like your comedy isn't already good.
No, I get where you come from. Yeah. I think there are a lot of great comedians. They have great material because of life experience and
right. Like, you get to that truth, like that real truthy bit.
Yeah, and you can only get that by actually living. And I feel like I'm still too young. I haven't really, Facebook and YouTube really, you know, made me rear sheltered. And now it's like, oh, okay, come on, push it. Put yourself in weird situations. Get more life experience.
Okay, cool. So we're going to play one more clip and then we're going to take a little break and play some more a little bit later. So this last one for the first little chunk.
This is Ali Wong. She's got a great special on Netflix called Baby Cobra. It's some of the funniest stuff. I think it's my favorite special from last year. She's so funny. And she does the whole thing in a tight dress while being heavily pregnant. And her act outs are insane. There's so much energy. Like, you shouldn't be able to squat and run around on the ground like that being heavily pregnant. But she just nails it. I love her.
Okay, great. Let's get into it.
I love it a lot. I love my coworkers. It's a great writing staff. And in terms of day jobs, it's probably one of the best you could ask for. But I still got to work at an office every day, which means I got to shit in an office every day. Housewives, they don't got to shit in an office. Housewives get to shit in their house. Skin to seat. They don't gotta use that horrible toilet paper cover. They don't gotta 10 times a day, every day. Like you're about to eat a sad ass meal. They don't gotta do that. They don't gotta use that one ply toilet paper, that office toilet paper that they purposely make difficult to pull out. They're trying to ration me with their communist toilet paper. That's not even effective. It basically just dehydrates your butthole. It's basically like wiping your butt with the desert. I literally spat on my toilet paper 2 days ago to try to make a MacGyver baby wipe to moisten it. And then it backfired because my fingers broke through and digitally stimulated more doo-doo to come out, and then I had to start all over again. And you can never finish wiping at work because you always feel rushed because you're paranoid that your coworker's gonna recognize your shoes underneath the stall, and you're like, oh no, Courtney's listening. She's waiting. She's timing me. And then you hurry, hurry, hurry. And then you never finish wiping. And then your butthole feels caked in doo-doo all day long. And then if you dare scratch yourself, your underwear at the end of the day looks like it's been run over by the Goonies. Housewives, they don't gotta muffle their shit, too. They don't gotta worry about the velocity with which their doo-doo comes out. They don't gotta try to, you know, squeeze the butt cheeks together to make sure that the doo-doo comes out at a slow and steady pace so that no unpredictable noise suddenly escapes and brings you deep, deep shame. Housewives are free to just blow ass into the toilet and let it echo and reverberate to the ends of their hallways while watching as much Netflix on their iPad as they want. They don't gotta take these boring, repressed shits. They can listen to podcasts. Planet Money. They could do whatever they want. You know, it's very distracting for me when I hear my coworkers blow ass into the toilet. I lose respect for them. Nothing they say to me anymore holds any sort of credence. I heard one of my coworkers blow ass into the toilet the other day. This bitch had the nerve to come up to me and say, "You need to get to work on time." I was like, "You need to eat bananas." I saw those green ballet flats. I know that shit was you. Don't try to tell me to get my shit together when I heard you not have your shit together.
Oh, great.
Yep. Oh, I love her. Oh, she's so good.
So I am joined by David Koryos, and we are listening to some of his favorite comedy clips. But we're going to take a short break and come back and play a couple more in a little while. But it's been great having him. We've already had it all.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm guessing that you've got more to...
Oh, yeah, and I try to keep this up as much variety as possible. Not, I think there's only one white person in the collection that I've brought up, and she's a woman, so it's in those straight white males, mate. It's all...
Beautiful.
Yeah.
You get the gold star.
Oh, thank you. Gold star for Ben. Okay, you're just going to leave me hanging? That's sweet. I just want to say right now, visual gag, I put my hand up and she didn't high five it, and I feel pretty good about it.
Now you guys can feel like you're in the studio too, and you could see that.
This is so awkward. I don't want to do that. Oh, God.
Okay, I'm going to play a song. We're going to save it with... This is Flex from JPSE. I'll talk to you again soon, David. I'm still joined by David Koryos.
Hello, hello, hello.
He's just been hanging out because he's still got a couple of clips to share with us, which I'm really excited about.
The reason I'm hanging out with you for so long, Alice, is because you forced me up at like 9 o'clock to be here, and my bus ride takes like at least 40 minutes to get here, and you gave me a 20-minute slot, and I was like, I ain't going to go out 40 minutes one way and back. So that's 80 minutes of travel for 20 minutes of... time. I want to hang out with you.
I respect that you're trying to get your time's worth out of it.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I have fun. I want to be social. It's Saturday. I'm never social on a Saturday. I'm always social on a Saturday.
But before 10 a.m, are you ever social on a Saturday?
Nah. That's... I like that. That's like... There's a hook in that. Social on a Saturday. That's all I got.
We both kind of danced, but then I felt embarrassed about it.
Nah, don't.
And I had to stop.
You hang out with a goofball like me. Don't feel embarrassed about anything.
Okay, what's our next clip?
Okay, next clip. Oh, I love this guy. He's a hero of mine. He's a dude named Bobby Lee. He used to be on Mad TV. If you used to watch TV on Channel 2 at 11 o'clock at night on Tuesdays, Mad TV was the best. So this is him talking about his Asian parents. And I'm Asian as well, so I love these. I love these jokes. These are like, yeah, Bobby Lee's amazing.
Great.
You know what I hate about Asian parents? They're so honest. Like, they have no filter. They have no editing system. Whatever they think, they say. This is my dad. Good morning, Dad. You look ugly today. You look horrible. Don't go outside. You are ugly. You made me, motherfucker. When I was in high school, I used to bring girls into my house, right? I would introduce them to my dad. My dad would tell them stories about me, like secrets. Like dark shit. Hey, Dad, this is Stephanie. When Bobby was a little kid, he ate the dog poop in the front lawn. I said, "Hey, don't eat that." He said, "I only had one piece." Nice to meet you, you know. He still does it today. Hey, Dad, this is Cindy. When we lived in Minnesota, Bobby was molested by a retarded guy. I said, "How did he get molested by a retard? I don't know." Yes, I was molested. Do you know why? I love candy.
Great. And you were saying, Afia, that he's an LA comedian.
Yeah, he's an LA comic. He's got a great podcast called Tiger Belly that he does with his girlfriend. It's really, really good.
Oh, cool. What do they talk about in the podcast?
Just like Asian problems, and Bobby's just messed up, and he always talks about like his high school days. He's such an interesting human being.
Yeah?
And it's so great. Yeah. That's all I have to say about him.
Definitely. I have to check that one out. Tiger Belly, you said, the podcast.
Yeah, Tiger Belly.
Cool. Okay. And we have one more clip.
Yes, yes. Final clip is, she's one of my favourites. Her name's Catherine Ryan. She's from the UK. She's the only UK comic that I put up. I'm just mainly putting American comics up. This is her set from Live at the Apollo. This is the clip that won me over, and ever since then, she's been blowing up all over the UK.
Yeah, I have to say, I had also been on the fence with Catherine Ryan, but then I did see some stuff that really sold her to me.
Yeah, yeah.
I think she's really funny.
Yeah, she's so cutthroat, but she masks it with this real, like, nice, hee-hee-hee-hee. But you're like, you just said some real harsh stuff, but you love it. It's great.
Okay, great. Let's have a listen to Catherine Ryan.
Hello, hello. My name is Catherine. What's yours? Shout it out. I talk funny because I come from Canada. But I live in the UK now, which can be very confusing. But no, I'm just like you. I'm a British mom. I'm your typical British mom, really. A young, uneducated immigrant. That's great. Oh, no, my daughter was planned. Poorly, so poorly. I made my little sister the baby's godmother. Yeah, because she was too fat to be my bridesmaid. So... That's the rule. There are loads of celebrity moms for us to look up to, aren't there? Kate Middleton is glorious, beautiful, classic, beautiful English mom. I love her. I remember when Kate Middleton announced her pregnancy, I was like, I wonder if she'll keep it. Who knows? I know. The young royals are hot, aren't they? Hot. Prince Harry, oh, he is getting serious with his girlfriend. I read that in Hell No magazine. I love Prince Harry, or as I like to refer to him, the Duke of I Just Cambridge. Ladies. Well, I know who my hero mom is, ladies. My hero mom has got to be Beyonce. I love Beyonce. Beyonce's strong. She's powerful. When Beyonce came out as part of Destiny's Child, that's right. She was only 15 years old, like a little baby, 15 years old, in pleather trousers, showing off that, like, camel toe. Canada, it's moose knuckle. You can have that. A little girl in pleather. No, 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 no. Can it remember? And everybody was like, that's fine. That's fine. There goes a strong, powerful, beautiful black woman. And when Rihanna came out, same deal. She was very young, 16, with that, hey, Mr. DJ, come on the replay, you know? And again, everybody was like, there goes a strong, powerful, beautiful black woman. No! We all know how that turned out. Not well. But when a little white girl puts on a miniskirt and tries to do a song and dance, Britney Spears, Miley Cyrus, Lindsay Lohan, me, everybody, that's not happening. Back in the closet, she must have had terrible parents. No, no, it's not fair. Because all I've ever wanted to be my entire life is a strong, powerful, beautiful black woman. Beyonce's a headline act. She headlined the American Super Bowl. Does anyone watch American football? Do you? I do sometimes. Beyonce, that's a big day. And you know, like, grandparents are there. The kids, all Americans, they have this big, everyone comes together, and there's a turkey. You know, Americans are serious about, like, sports or genocide when they get a turkey. And Beyonce came out to headline that thing in an outfit made of, like, python and elephant, like, stuff you should not kill. And then she treated us to a reunion, y'all, of Destiny's Child. That's exactly right. It was, Kelly, can you handle this? And she's like, come over here, the other one. Can you handle... Come over. I don't really care about you. Now you know. And they had been living under the stage the last 4 years. Because Kelly popped up on this side and she was ready, right? She's like, what's up, Beyonce? And she had the kind of thighs that you need to be friends with Beyonce. The kind of thighs that could squash a man's head like a grape. But the other one. What happened to the other one? The other one was not expecting a phone call. She bobs up on this side, like, frightened, like a little deer in headlights, like, ah! Skinny, like rickety crickets, like degenerative bone disease, some kind of muscle atrophy. great match. All the single ladies, you put a ring on it, you will snap this bitch's finger off. And after like two lines each, Beyonce dismissed them. She's like, thank y'all. Thank y'all, Kelly. Thank y'all, not Kelly. Goodbye. And they're like, ah. She's like, that's what happens when y'all don't practice. Beyonce became more powerful as a mother, didn't she? Didn't she? And I know what changed. It was the hips. It was the hips. They went from like the little no, 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 straight into the Beyonce hips that we know and love today. She can't stop the hips now. Beyonce like walks to the grocery store this way now. Uh-oh. Mm-hmm. Milk and bread for Beyonce. Uh-oh, uh-oh, uh-oh. This is Beyonce queuing at the bank. Uh-oh. That's a powerful woman. You saw Miley Cyrus at the VMAs. This is not a dance. Twerking is a victim's dance. That is a cry for help. No. You don't want to dance like that. You want to dance like Beyonce. You can be sexy, but you dance like Beyonce, like you sit on a dick and rip it off. Beyonce is so powerful, she reinvented sexy face. You didn't even notice, did you? Sexy face, what did it used to look like, girls? Show me a little sexy face. Look at you, a little smile, a little, I don't know. Wrong. Sexy face, practice with me, thanks to Beyonce, is there's a bad smell and you're angry about it. You come at your man like this tonight. He'll be like, it was the dog. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Katherine Ryan. See you soon.
Great. I have to be honest, I wasn't listening to much of it because we were having a bit of a yarn.
Yeah. Tell me more, Alice, about how you want to go to New York and do improv because you want to change your life up.
Let's suppose that you're writing a really...
This time I didn't turn it off. I got too proud about my abilities to stop the YouTube videos before they kept playing, and I got caught out. Hey, David...
So improv, Alice.
No, let's bring this off here. But I do love improv. I think it's a beautiful art form. But, David, it's been... a pleasure having you in studio.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
And you've been...
Are you kicking me out now?
I'm kicking you off the air. Oh. It's been great. You've been our first comedian. So to all the Saturday morning listeners, we're going to have a bunch more in leading right up to the Comedy Festival. And I think through the Comedy Festival. So we're just really embracing comedy, which I think is a nice thing.
Yeah, comedy, we're in some trying times right now, you know, what with the social storms that I have. Is that what you call them? I don't know. There's storms, there are heaps of storms, and they're not all made of rain. Some of them are named Donald Trump.
Oh. Some of them are made of racism and bigotry.
Yep, and bad water in Flint, Michigan.
That's a real rough one.
And genocide in Sudan.
Okay, we've had our laughs now, we're bringing it back down. We're thinking about the really rough things happening in the world. But no, I really, it has been a pleasure. I would recommend everyone to go see David Koryos is going full Koryos.
Yeah.
And that's on May 3rd to May 6th at Q Theatre. Tickets are $20 or concession $18 or cheap Wednesday for $16.
Yo, you know it. Got to make a cheap Wednesday, BB.
There's a range of prices.
Yeah, I know. I'm just trying to make it as cheap as possible. It's going to be something if you've never come to one of my shows before, it'll be nothing like you've ever seen before. It's madness.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.